Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
Certainly, that's very important, and it's very odd to me. I guess it's odd because I was never skeptical, so I cannot see the opposite. But how many people are so skeptical that they can do something themselves? But then when you say, hey, take a shot, take this pill, they'll be the first one in line. When you can say if you can do it yourself, they're like, I don't know, let me think about it. This is not, what's going on? What do you think?
I recently, I'll tell you this little story real quick. On the 4th of July, I was in an accident and I was severely burned from the waist down, the backs of my legs. I had third degree burns and I had like 2-inch burns in the backs of my leg and on my ankle. And all of the skin healed, right? But I was left with I don't know if it was a nerve pain or whatever. So I didn't have a doctor, a family doctor. I'm not against doctors by any means. So I had to wait a long time. And in the meantime, to get an appointment. And in the meantime, I was giving myself Reiki. And I don't know if this is it. You know, I can only attest, this is my testimony. But I go to the doctor and she didn't run any tests to see if there was something wrong, because it could have definitely been internal damage because some of my wounds were so deep. She didn't run any tests or anything. She just wanted to hand me a pill. And I just looked at her and said, no, thank you. I don't even know what's causing this pain. I don't know what's, you know, I couldn't stand on my leg. I couldn't roll myself over in bed without like a electrifying pain going from my hip all the way to my toes. Right. So then I couldn't walk until I got up and walked around for like 5 minutes with a walker. So I had to walk quite a bit before the pain would subside enough. And then I was fine. So I felt like it couldn't be something that was not manageable. So I just kept giving myself Reiki and kept giving myself Reiki. She offered me these pills and I said no. And she's like, okay, well then how about physical therapy? I'm like, okay, I'll do physical therapy. Within 3 days of that appointment and me rejecting the medication, the pain went away and it's never come back. Don't know. I don't have an answer, but I have been giving myself Reiki. I had other energy healers doing other types of energy work, coding and some other stuff. I was in a chat group with them that had been sending me energy and it just went away all by itself and it has not returned. So, you know, that's my testimony at the moment that I'm working with. And I think energy work can do amazing things. Now, is it exactly what did it? Do I have proof? No, I don't. But I don't have anything else that happened either.
Right. And there's nothing to lose to do it anyway. That's the thing I tell people. I'm like, you go to the doctor, and I'm not against doctors either, but I will do Eastern medicine first or energy work or meditation first. And I've cured so many things, or I alleviate the pain with my brain. And then I'll go to the doctor and they're like, oh, okay, I had eczema. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to meditate on that. And I listened to Dr. Wayne Dyer. There's sometimes people would call in and it's, I'm frustrated. It's not going away. And he says, maybe it's not going away. I'm not sure. But because of her frustration is not aligned with the universe. It's lack. Don't be frustrated. It's there. Just acknowledge it. And that helps me too, because anything that happened, people sometimes tell me I'm not invested in fighting, I guess, because you're right. Because if you're not fighting back, they're like, you're not invested in relationship. And I'm like, no, I'm observing. Uh-huh. And so instead of being reactive, because people are so accustomed to being reactive, and I used to be that too. So now I'm just observing and be like, oh, this is happening. And basically, how can I fix it? Or how can I flow with it instead of like fighting against it? And so like the candida hasn't come back for years. And I don't know if it's cured or not, but I don't need to doubt it either, because what's the point of doubting it? It's like, what's, people need to realize that your mind create things in your body, regardless if you believe it or not. Because obviously, like when you're stressed out, when you're depressed, and when you're angry all the time, and you anxiety, look at your life. And when you take the pill, look at the like the things. Was that the word? When you take pills, something happened. Reaction.
Reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. What it does to you, and so. And a lot of people would call in about some pills they take that cause suicide. And then they'll say, yeah, my cousin took it and my brother took it and that's suicide. And so they were calling him on there. And it's like, yeah, if they help you, but like, why would you be skeptical about meditation or energy work when those things, you can do them yourself? And I'm not, and I've have taken Western medicine while doing those things. You can incorporate too. And sometimes you don't need to. So it's like, there's no point being, of course, it's your life. You can be skeptical, but you're doing yourself a disservice, really.
Definitely. I my experience is I took antidepressants when I went through my divorce. So I went through my divorce and I had a son die and I had a sister die all within a few years of each other, and like my grandparents and everything. And I wasn't aware of energy work. I didn't know anything about meditation. I didn't know anything. I was suicidal. I was all kinds of things. I was angry. And so I got on antidepressants. But once I started learning about energy work and meditation and other ways that I could help calm my own body and release that stress and shift the energy and the level that I was vibrating at. Because if your thoughts, and you're feeding yourself all this low level energy stuff, even like down to the types of movies you watch, right? That's where you're vibrating. So that's all your body is physically there too. So once I started learning about all this, I was able to take myself and wean myself from antidepressants. And I haven't taken them in over 10 years. And I don't feel like I need them. I have other avenues that I have learned to do instead of them that work for me. Now, I am not telling anyone by any means to stop taking your antidepressants.
Right, right.
That's not what I'm saying, because they definitely did me good for a lot of years and they helped me. But I have found, like I said, I just found other ways, because you said reactions, you know, what is the word we were looking for there?
Yeah, I think we know the right word, but we can't.
Oh my God, the word isn't coming to me. Anyway, there's things that happen. There's like you get dry mouth from it. You get sleepy. There's a lot of things that you get and you have to deal with when you take some of those antidepressants. So I wasn't really happy with that. So that's why I wanted to see if I could wean myself off of it. And I did it very carefully and I did it with my doctor's approval. And I have found that I don't need it now. So, and when I start to have any of those kinds of anxieties that I used to have before, I have learned new ways at coping techniques that I use. Affirmations to me are huge. Journaling is huge. Things like that, that I use to tapping emotional freedom technique when I get overwhelmed with anxiety.
Yeah. Do you think also is because we are a culture of drink this pill and I'm going with my day because I don't have time for that? It's like people are emailing me. I know they're robots, but they're emailing me about, hey, you can lose this weight. And I was like, how is that relevant? Like, I'm a stick. I don't need that. And I was just like, drink this pill. How about like, you know, it's like really.
I want instant gratification.
Yeah, and same with the, it's funny. As even, because I have an Instagram and some people, and I put some like meditation and yoga stuff and people say like, I have this issue right now. Like, how can I fix it right away? And I'm talking to them, I'm referring them to Dr. Wayne Dyer and Sadhguru and Louise Hay. And they're like, I need this week. I don't have time or whatever. And I was like, even God took 6 days to make whatever, like, as the story goes. And why do you think you can do it? And you could, I'm not saying you cannot, but like, anything takes work. Even nature takes work. I'm trying to grow ginger and pineapple head and avocado. I'm like, come on, grow already. And it's not. And so it's like, things take time and people just want a pill. People want something magic and it can happen. But I think both people need to be in the same space. I have like one story that happens recently. I have a yogi master that came over for an interview. And for some reason, and I told him too, I'm not an anxiety person, but as I was reading about him, I was like, of course, like normal human stuff, like nervous, anxiety. And of course, like things were going wrong because I've noticed when things go wrong, because you make things go wrong. And because of the energy, you are, I believe like human can affect electronics. We're making things go wrong. And so things are going on and I was like, ah. And he just touched me on my shoulder for like 3 seconds. And I was healed. I was healed.
That's for energy.
Yeah. And I texted about it and I was like, oh my God. And it reminded me, I have a friend who same with the skin thing I had. I forgot. Eczema. Yeah. So I was it was interesting because I never had eczema until I met my friend. And then it was such an issue for him. And I think I cannot prove it, but I feel like I've taken his eczema. Because as people would say, like, because I know I've taken energy before and I've taken things. And then it was an issue because eczema is not fun. And then one day I woke up, I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. Like, thank you for teaching what you needed to teach me. I love you and leave, like Dr. Wayne Dyer would say. Yeah. And then my friend actually, prior to COVID, he came over and visit. He's from Florida, so we were hanging out. And then I think we either talked about it or, because like whenever we hang out, like he would say things get cured or whatever. So I just like did not think too much about it until he was saying like eczema was a huge deal in his life. And he feels that because of my calmness or serenity, like when we hang out, we have like great energy hangouts and he feels calm around me that it was gone. And then I was like, and I asked him for a timeline and I was like, wow, mine was gone around that time too. Because I was just like, I felt like I was taking someone else's stuff. And I'm not saying his or whatever, but like some energy, because all these things are manifested tangibly, their energy. And then his was healed and he gave me credit. And I was like, I give universe credit and I'm, you know, whatever. And so no proof, as you mentioned, but it's there. So I'm just going to accept it because it's no longer part of my life. So what do you do as a life coach?
I ask a lot of questions to have you search within yourself to find answers. Cause I can't, nobody else can make you happy. You got to go within your own self to make you happy. I give you techniques and processes to do, or I do them with you to reach for better feeling thoughts, to help you raise your vibrations. Because if you can raise how you're feeling, that puts you on a different level of energy, which your whole life will shift. Mm-hmm. So whatever your problem is, will shift. I try and help you come up with your own answers to your issues. I don't give you answers. I don't even give you any advice, but I will give you other techniques to even help go within yourself to find how you really feel. Because so many of us have been suppressed or being raised as Jehovah's Witnesses. We're not allowed to think for ourselves. And often you don't know how. You don't know how to dream. You don't know what it is you really want in life. So let's say you're Mormon, but you really don't know that you don't want to be because you don't know there's something else out there. But, you know, if you're given the homework to research different things or you're given, taken through a process, you know, let's say you're just a really negative person and you're taken through a process to reach for better feeling thoughts. You know, if you're constantly, I don't even know. I can't think. I'm thinking negative things about your children. Let's say you've got some child that's difficult to deal with, and that's all you're hearing from other people. There's processes that I would take you through to find the good in that child. You've got to find there's good in everyone. So journal about it daily. If all it is that he picked up a toy and put it in the toy box that day, you know, you start really small with those thoughts. It doesn't have to be some big grandiose thing, but often we think it does, you know, it has to be big, but you can start with, if you're really sad and depressed, looking at the grass and going, wow, the grass is green and I love putting my feet in it. And that right there. And if you stop after you say that out loud, you can actually feel the energy in your body raise if you're in a really depressed state.
Right.
There's different processes that I take you through. I like to use a lot of the processes by Abraham Hicks.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what I'm hearing is, and I totally agree because I've experienced it. So you're talking about, it's all about self, basically. And even science proves it, because you've probably seen those studies where people are giving a sugar pill and just in the real thing. And then how even people who took the sugar pill got healed. And so come on, people, like, do your research and know all these things is real. And it's like, we are God incarnated. Is that the word? It's like, we can do it. And as my guru says, that being human is super. People will be like, oh, I'm just human. It's like, it's like, no, being human is super. You can do so much. Certainly.
That takes me to the place of when I first learned Reiki. And my husband asked me, well, how do you know it's real? And I'm like, you know, I kind of sat with it and I came to the conclusion that, you know what? If I give someone a Reiki treatment and let's say it ain't real, let's say there is no such thing as energy work. Let's say it's just it's just made up, but that person gets off my Reiki table feeling better and different. What do I got to lose? And I've had some amazing experiences. So I do know that it's real, but that's kind of how I explained it to my husband. Cause he was like, well, what if it isn't real? It's like, you know, but I know it is, but even if it's not, it's kind of like you said, the sugar pill. If it helps shift somebody else's thoughts enough that they feel better, what harm is done?
Right. Exactly. Because we
help somebody.
We tell ourselves lies so much, so many times in throughout our lives. And what good did I make for us? So, and when I'm meaning that, there was another story I heard where the doctor was saying that, not like, well, kind of lie, but just tell yourself the opposite. Say, I feel great today. If you have a body ache, you're going to recognize your body ache, but you're going to be like, I'm energized today. I'm healthy. I'm grateful. And I can walk and do all these things. And so, like, that's great. That's kind of like, I want to call it a lie, but not really a lie. You know what I mean? Like, white lie, because you know you're like, you're achy and you're like, And so, and if you can feel better because of that, why not do it? When we lie to ourselves, like in the bad lies of so many different things, that gives us stress and anxiety anyway, and that make us sick. Mm-hmm. We do all these fake things and lies that make us sick, and why not do a good lie that can heal you, basically? Because when you keep repeating in your head, it's going to be true. You know, like in psychology, like some people who do like big crimes, they turn the story so much in their heads, it becomes true for them. But then when they show them the camera, they're like, no, that's not me. But because their brain can make things, yeah.
Yeah, I like to, let's go with being tired. Because a lot of us, and I'm really guilty of this one, I'm so tired today. So when I can catch myself and remember to do this, what I like to do is, you know, being tired, what do I get from that? I get to rest. I get to take care of my body. But I'm done with being tired. So I'm going to call in energy. I'm going to call in being energized. I want to feel. And if I start talking to myself about how I want to feel, next thing you know, I'm full of energy and I'm getting the stuff done I need to get done. just by talking myself up into that space. You know, what more do I get done when I feel more energy, energized, you know, just physical energy? You know, I get my dishes done, I get my housework done, I get the kids taken care of, I get this done. Instead of telling yourself how tired you are, because when I swear I get more tired, the more I tell myself I'm tired.
Certainly. And have you read the book, The Four Agreements, possibly?
Not, but it is on my list. I've heard that's come up like 3 times in a week.
So there you go. Listen to the gods.
You have to go get the book.
The Four Agreements, I think is by Don Miguel Ruiz. And it is one of the agreements is called Be Impeccable With Your Words. That book, oh my God, I read it in one sitting. It's so good. It wasn't like, oh, let me read the chapter. It was so good. I was like, I don't care what's going on today. I'm going to read it. And I read it 3 times actually too, because it like the second time was like, I took breaks because I was like, okay, meditating on it. But Be Impeccable With Words is so detailed because your words, he called their spells and their magic. And as you're talking about with the tired, and Dr. Wendy, I would say the same. If I actually really tired, instead of saying I'm tired, I'm going to take care of my body. Like you say, I'm going to take a nap. Yeah. I don't need to say I'm tired. I just need to know what I need to do. Or if I don't need to take a nap, you know what I do? I go exercise. I walk outside and smell the air. For 5 or 10 minutes, I'm not tired anymore. And if you're working hard like 12 hours, you go take a nap or you go sleep because you need that body refreshment. But if it's just like you're tired for no reason, it's not actually tired you are. You needed to switch your work. You need to switch your activities or get more like active. Yeah. And words are spells. They're magic spells. Even like this is why, I mean, religion, I feel like, as I mentioned, like they had the right concept, but it's something went wrong because when they say like your thoughts are sin, but in a sense, if you switch it from religion, like sin to spirituality, your thoughts can affect you. So if you're thinking, example, one thing I used to do, and I know I'm not a mean person, and people who hang out with me, no, I'm not mean, but there's things in my thoughts, like a lot of us. So what I do, even me, I learned from Dr. Wayne Dyer, is if I see someone, let's say someone having ugly shoes, I'll be like, oh, these shoes are ugly, just in my head. And then I'm like, no, this is not nice. That's not a positive thought. That's not a good energy. And you know, funny thing is, when I have a thought about someone, you know what happened? They look my way. And how is that not energy?
Call me on the phone.
Yes.
I'll think about somebody and then they'll call me on the phone that I haven't talked to in a long time. And I'll be like, oh yeah, I just did that.
Yeah. Those are proof. And when that would happen, and of course I get skeptical. Did I say that out loud? Cause I'm like, did I say that out loud? And I'm like, oh, cause energy is real. And this is where that sin is, because you're making magic spells on people. And I was like, that's not nice to say that person's shoes ugly or why is that person weird? It's not my business. Why judge them? Like, I should love them. That's not love. And Dr. Indira says, if it's not kind, don't think it. Of course, thinking we have, it's like a monkey chatting. We have like, I don't say we have no control, but we have limited control. But in our words or actions, we have 100% control. Like, I don't need to tell someone, you know, like some people say, I tell it like it is. You don't, that's basically translation for rudeness. You don't need to tell someone like, oh, I don't like your hair. That's not kind. That's not loving. What does that do? That's magic spells. So yeah, definitely. Energy does exist. Yeah. So I've read about the PTSD. So can you tell us about PTSD and how that's relating to your work and how you work with people with that?
I've had some opportunity with working with people with PTSD. I usually use an emotional freedom technique to help them to calm some of the anxieties that they have. And I help them come up with their, you know, depending on their experiences with life, I help them come up with their own emotional freedom technique process to help them that's critiqued for their personal experiences that they're going through that caused the PTSD.
Is that curable, PTSD? I would like to think everything's curable because we're sober, but...
Yes, it depends on who you ask. I do definitely think that you can overcome the severity of it, but I do think it can flare back up. You know, there's always triggers in life. Have you heard that? So if you know, you were in a car crash and it created PTSD in you, when you're driving in the car, you may all of a sudden have flashbacks per se, or feel like everything's closing in on you, or have fear come up around you that it's going to happen again. And there again, like we were talking about energy and our thoughts and how it shifts everything around us, you know, what you think when that trigger comes up is going to shift what happens around you in that moment and how you feel. So if you have in place thought processes that you can grab within your own mind when that happens to you, like I've noticed since I had the fireworks accident just recently, really loud noises, I find myself jolting and jerking. I'm like, oh, well. So when I hear that, now I have different things I say to myself or energy that I run on myself, just because I know that I have obviously that has left some residual trauma in my body and in my mind.
So would PTSD be related to phobias possibly too? Because it's like something that triggers
phobias. Well, PTSD is usually comes from some trauma that's happened to you.
Yeah.
So a phobia is, I don't know much about a phobia, to be real.
Yeah. Because I had I don't know too much, but let's say people have like spiders phobia or whatever phobia. And I've learned that when something brings me phobia or PTSD, and I think I learned that from the Maury show when they had to put a spider in someone's chest and they're like, you have to embrace it. So when I went to Florida, there are a lot of geckos, lizards. And that's my thing. And I grew up in warm climate where there's a lot of lizards. And so I remember one time I ran across the street, almost got hit by a car. And I was just like, you know what? That's what clicked for me. I was like, this is stupid and silly. Like, are you serious doing this for a lizard that's just living its life? And I'm going to get hit by a car. And then I told my friend, I was like, you know what? I didn't put any lizard on me. I'm not there yet. But I was like, if a lizard walking down the street, I'm going to look at it or pass by it and not freak out. And I feel like putting yourself in situations can help, because it's kind of like sometimes when a building is burning and so like a fire thing, to not let it spread, you blow it up or things like that. So, yeah.
I agree with that, because my thought right before you said that was if somebody came to me with something like that, I would probably take them through a hypnotherapy session to go to the space of a spider, you know, visualize the spider on you and go
through
that, right? So you could do something like that. That was what first came to me when you said it. I'd have to really sit with that one. But so that kind of matches there. I agree with that.
Yeah, that happened to me. I practice. I'm do a lot of self-help. My second week in New York City, I got attacked. Someone attacked me with a bottle, which didn't even break, but it hit me the right spot where it didn't break my skull. And I looked around, I thought it was a brick falling. And this guy was swinging and he was saying like slurs and all this stuff. And it was crazy. And so, of course, then I had PTSD. I had this image of this person. And whenever I look behind my shoulder, I could see the image, even in my head, that didn't exist. Or if I see some tall person, I thought that was him. or when I was avoiding the area at least for 3 weeks and I needed to be in the area, I would go around it to get where I need to be instead of going the straight route. And I was just like, wait a minute, like, no. And I'm glad I grew up Jehovah's Witness, because if I'm doing some shenanigans, I'm like, no, I'm not doing that shenanigans anymore, because I've done it with religion. So I was just like, you know, even outside of work, I went to that area and sat exactly where I got attacked for a whole month. And then I don't have that anymore, because I didn't want this to run my life. And because of that also, I have empathy for, especially like in my experience and in society, and I know those things would happen because I got attacked. I have empathy for females who either cross the street or who stop when I'm walking behind them, they let me pass. Or if I'm in the elevator, people are feel funny. I don't judge them anymore. But in prior to that, I would be like, why this person acting funny and weird? Because you can feel the energy. You don't know what they're thinking, but you know what's going on. Like, you know, or even, and I feel like with energy, there can be false energy, there can be real energy. Like a false energy can be someone was attacked, just like me, and then they have all this either trauma or phobia, PTSD, and that's false energy because they're just skeptical about everybody around them. And there's people who really feel the danger, and then they like looking and they're like, they feel the energy and they maybe intuition and do something different. Yeah. And so it's good to know what is being anxiety and what is being listening to your intuition.
I think that's great that you were able to address it that way. That's how for years I would not drive past a Kingdom Hall. It would have taken me 10 minutes less to get to the grocery store every time I went if I would have drove past the Kingdom Hall, but I wouldn't. And then when I listened to those cassette tapes and realized that it was anger and that I was taking my power back, one of the first things I started doing was driving the way that I had for years avoided. It's like, no, I'm not going to not drive this way. Why am I punishing myself 10 minutes out of the way every single time? So I started driving past it every time. A couple times I just drove into the parking lot and just sat there.
Like, good, no, good.
I'm taking my power back. They are not going to affect my emotions anymore.
That's funny you say that, because that happens when I quit going. And then I would avoid where I used to preach a lot. And then at some point I just walked through it and I just ignored them. I kept walking. People will call my name. They're like, hey, and I just keep walking. And I'm like, and eventually when I've done it, they know, and then they stop because they're like, whatever. And so that helped.
I still live in the same area that I grew up in. And well, my father being an elder, we went to lots of different congregations because he gave talks in all the local congregations, and there's like four or five. So I've just learned to embrace it. I don't walk the other way past somebody. If I know who they are, I just walk right past them. And if they look at me, I will just be like, hi, I'll acknowledge them because I feel that that's the right thing to do. Hmm. I don't need to ignore you. If you want me disfellowship because you're the one judging me, then you can ignore me and I'll respect that. But I as a person would acknowledge the person standing next to you. So I'm going to acknowledge you just the same.
Right.
That's not my business. So I'm not gonna let their energy affect me. I'm not taking that on.
Certainly. Yeah, I've used to do that. And then they want to talk, you know, like some, like, well, they're salespeople. That happened with the Mormons too. When I wrote them a letter, I said, I'm no longer going. And they want to ask why. And when they see me, because they helped me. Now I volunteer at a space because I wanted to give back. And when I meet them there, and then they would like, not exactly, but I know they want to ask like, hey, when are you coming back? And have you thought about it? And I was like, oh. So that's why, like, you want to avoid, because, like, I don't want to go back. Can you just leave me alone?
I learned to just answer the question with, and you know what? I'm much happier where I'm at now, and I'm really glad that you're happy where you're at. And then I'll just, like, excuse myself or something. When they come to my door, I'll answer the door. I'll tell them, you know, disfellowship, so you probably want to just move on. I hope you have a great day, though, you know? I mean, I'm just really kind to them and loving, because what I also know is they're not really used to the kindness and the love and that energy exchange they feel. And it does feel different.
Nice.
So I always make sure I answer the door and I always make sure I'm kind no matter what I say. Not always did I do that. But I also remember being that scared person at the door. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I mean, I did because I wanted, you know, I wanted to believe it. And, you know, I pioneered for years, but at the same token, I was always, you know, you always have that human fear of, are they going to ask me a question I can't answer or, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Try and give them something positive to walk away with.
Why is it important to know someone else's love language? Like, because I read that about you, so.
Love languages. Well, I guess the importance is if you know their love language, you can speak to them in their language. For example, if your love language is touch and your partner is just always bringing you gifts and gifts mean nothing to you, but there's no physical contact because it's not your love language, then there's going to be problems all over there, you know, because they're not going to feel accepted. They're not going to feel like they're not going to feel that connection. When instead of going out and buying them a gift, if you just reached over and touched their hand, that fills their cup, that fills them up. They feel it's an energy exchange too, but gifts are an energy exchange as well. But that's where their energy is filled. Words of affirmations. I mean, there's so many, there's five different love languages. Right. And of course, at the moment, I probably couldn't name them all, but.
Yeah, I always came away before, but my first one is acts of service. Then second one for me is quality time, then physical touch. And I'm not so much words of affirmation and receiving gifts. I'm not into, I can do all five, but those are my three primary ones. But funny thing is, as the book also mentioned, I read all his books, by the way. And he says, like, sometimes it's best to ask, but sometimes you can get clues. Like, I love gift giving, and I had to learn to accept gifts. And I don't know if learning that is because, like, being Jehovah's Witness, I don't know if it was a Jehovah's Witness trauma where we don't accept gifts or we give glory to Jehovah kind of a thing. So we don't accept physical materials. I'm not sure where that came from. But receiving gifts is not a big thing for me. Like if you like my page, that means a lot.
Yeah.
Cause I had to tell my partner, we're not together anymore for over a decade. And he would do all the, he's doing his love language toward me. And but I would, the thing, the difference is though, which still confuses me to this day, because he and I talked about that and something's not computing, that I would, some people, like, you have to guess it and you might guess wrong, but you might guess right based on clues. And not only that I give out clues, I voice it. I voice it.
Yeah.
And he still gives his. So it's like, then it doesn't make it work because, like, I'm an entrepreneur, and who else can support you beside your partner and your family? And when you don't get that support, but now it's great, though, because I learned through experience. I had to learn to validate myself and know that the universe validates me, and I don't need human validation. So I guess through that ordeal, I needed to learn that, and I'm grateful for that. Now I can do my stuff, and people don't validate me, and I'm cool with that. But we're also tangible. It's nice to get the validation from people who are close to you, especially your partner.
Definitely, definitely. That's great. Yeah. Yeah, the love languages. I encourage any couples that come to me too. That's one of my first go-tos, is to read that book and do the little test together so that you can consciously fill your partner's cup.
Yes, consciously. Being mindful and do it on like Dr. Ndaro say, live on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you're consciously filling their cup. They're more, and even if they're resistant to even reading the book or taking the test or doing any of that, if their cup is full, they're going to be less resistant.
Right.
The ideas that you have, because they're going to be feeling better. They're going to be feeling a connection with you. Even if you're feeling like your cup's not full, they're more likely to start to reciprocate if theirs is being filled.
Right. So would there be a way, let's say if your partner, or let's say you didn't know about love language, because I didn't know about love language until I was learning a lot of stuff, because I like audiobooks, and I was like, oh, this recommendation, oh, that sounds good. What is love language? I was like, what is love language? It's like, that was my first question. I was like, I never heard such thing. And when I was reading his book, I was like, oh, wow. And it all made sense for me. And I was noticed, I guess, because of my personality, I like to study and I like to be aware, and I love psychology. So I tend to know people's love language the moment we hang out, because people will give you clues or they'll say certain things. And so how about if someone they don't know about their clues, they have no idea. And if you tell, let's say if both parties do not know what love language is, but one party is speaking that person's love language because they're just in tune like that. Mm-hmm. And that person is not speaking their love language. And then no one knows about the book, or if you didn't know about the book either, but you're aware of love language, but not the term itself, like, what would you tell someone, this partner, how to cope with that person? Does that make sense? Because that's usually that one partner who's not speaking. One partner is usually speaking that love language, and another one is not.
I would probably encourage them to, or ask questions like, what do you think fills them up? What makes them happy? What makes them smile? You know, so, because if you're not in tune to what's making your partner happy, because what you give and what you put out is what comes back to you. So if you're not feeling fulfilled in the relationship, if you start doing things to fulfill the other person, it comes back to you. So I would ask them questions to see if they are even in tune with their partner. And if they're not, well, that might be a starting place, is what could you do to help connect some of these bridges? You know, what can you figure out if they like touch? Can you figure out, because if I was coaching them, I would first off have them read the book and talk to them about each love language, and see really how in tune they are with each other, so that you have a starting place. Because like, if they don't know, that's where they need to start, is learning each other and opening up. And sometimes that's really hard for couples.
Yeah, I feel like definitely love language, at least for me, now I was doing it on purpose. It cures a lot of relationships. Another book I like is by Dale Carnegie, How to Influence Others and Make Friends. How to Make Friends and Influence Others. Mm-hmm. And like, I posted that and someone says, oh, I don't need a training. I don't need a book to tell me what to do. Da, da, da. And I was like, okay, fine, to each their own. But like, why be so close-minded about a... And he said that was like, what's that word? Manipulation. And I'm like, the word manipulation became a dirty word. Anything is manipulation. It doesn't need to be a dirty word. It's like, what is wrong learning about your partner's love language and do it for them to have a great relationship? You manipulate in a situation, but it's for the good. It's not like, you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah. Well, and if you want it to work, you want to work with them, and you have to learn them to make it work with them. If you're not open to learning them, if you want to call it manipulation, then nothing's going to change. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm really open to being kind of that coach too, that if you're not willing to go within and work on your own self, then I might not be the one for you to work with either. You know? So sometimes I feel that way in relationships. If they're not able to work together, then the relationship might not be the right one. And sometimes we have to let things go in order to grow, and they serve a purpose in the time that they're there.
Yes.
So I definitely, I'm on my second marriage. I definitely know that my first marriage served a huge purpose, and I learned a ton, and we were Jehovah's Witnesses together. And without all of the things, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. and I'm remarried and I'm really, really happy. And my husbands aren't even friends. So, and yeah, you sometimes you have to let one thing go and learn the lessons from it to move on into new things and keep growing and learning. And that's my.
Yeah, certainly. So where can someone find your work so they can work with you?
They can email me at wendyjohnsonslifecoaching@outlook.com. At the moment, my website is down, but it's Wendy Johnson, wendyjohnsonslifecoaching.com. Did I just say that? At outlook.com. Okay, so at .com. I have a website, Source Energy Therapy, at out. Yeah,
sourceenergytherapy.com. Great. Yeah, it was wonderful talking to you. And thank you so much for shedding light into energy and Reiki and all this good stuff, because I feel like people are skeptical because of fear and closed-mindedness, and they don't need to be.
Yes.
There's like zero reason to be. Like, if there was something happened, okay, I get it, but like, yeah. Energy is who we are and it's us, so there's no reason to be skeptical. And I've learned a lot of new things too about, I've spoken to one person that did Reiki, but he did more the aspect of like also herbal stuff including with it. And so I learned a lot from you, and thank you for today's, I want to say session, today's chat. And you're funny, and as we're talking, it's like interactions has a purpose. And now after this, I'm like, oh, I'm excited to sit and do some energy work on me, because I'm feeling a little energy less. So I learned in school there's this thing called crazy eights. So I'm gonna do some crazy eights. You heard of that?
Oh, I have one.
Because we have like four limbs, so we have to shake our limbs like four times, so it's like eight. So I'm gonna be like doing something like this and shake that thing, whatever is dragging me down, off of my body.
And so, it's just where you just take your energy like this all down, just wipe it off, let it go.
Yes. Yes, I usually do that at a window too. Like I do something like this at a window. I'm gonna do that. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate you as well.